Last week, young Billy was baptized at a church in Huntersville. On the way home, he was crying, sobbing in the back seat. His parents turned around and said, "Billy, what is the problem? What is the matter?" And Billy said, "Well, the pastor said when I was baptized that I was going to be raised by a good Christian family, and I want to stay with you guys." Present company excluded, of course. The state of our world, the state of each of our worlds testify to the fact that we struggle for our lives to be homes for Jesus. For the love and the wisdom and the power of Jesus to live in our lives and in our homes and in our families. For some reason, we find it so hard to accept His offer to fill us with the abundant life that He just reaches out to put into our hands and, into our homes. Today, Jesus re-offers that gift to us. And He offers it today especially because today, Quick and Catherine, and each one of us made a promise. A promise, first of all, to live with Jesus in our lives, to live His life faithfully. And all of us made a promise to Elsie and to all children and all people entrusted to us to live the Christian faith and to nurture and nourish that faith in the people that God puts in our lives every day. Jesus re-offers this gift to us this morning as He continues His choice of voices, two voices that seek to control our lives, and He lets us choose who will win by how we talk, what we think, how we act, what we decide, how we relate, and what we desire. Jesus does this morning through the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. This is the night that Jesus is going to be crucified, and He and the disciples have been in what we call the upper room, and they have celebrated what we call the Lord's Supper, and they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will pray and then be arrested and taken off to be tried and then crucified the next day. On the way, Jesus stops. He stops apparently at the door to the gate to the temple in Jerusalem, which is adorned by a 6-foot large carving of a fruit-filled grapevine, which is a symbol of God's gift of life to His people. Jesus turns to His disciples then and His disciples here today and gives to them His almost last words before He dies. And as Jesus gets ready to give His life for us, He gives us this truth that can give us life, revealing to us these two voices that are fighting to control our lives and what's going to happen by which one we choose. Here's what Jesus says. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He removes any of my branches that do not produce fruit. He prunes away every branch that produces fruit so that it will be clean and produce even more fruit. And you have been made clean," Jesus says, "by my words that I have given you. Live in me," Jesus says, "and I will live in you. No branch can produce fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine," Jesus says, "you are the branches. If you live remaining in me and I in you," and the Message version says, "at home with me and my words at home in you, then you will produce much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that dries out and withers away. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, becoming mature as my disciples. As the Father loves me, so I love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I keep my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment, Jesus says. Love one another as I love you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit, the fruit that will last. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask my Father whatever you wish in my name, and he will give it to you. This is my command. Love one another as I love you. Jesus holds out to us these two voice choices. One that leads to abundant life, the other leads to death. One voice lures us to let go of Jesus. If you don't live in me and remain in my words, you will be like a branch that dries out and withers away, for without me you can do nothing. The other voice calls us to live in Jesus. If you live in me and remain in my word, my words at home with you, you will produce much fruit and your joy will be complete. This is what that first voice calls us to look like. This is the voice of the enemy, Satan, who says, let go of Jesus. Jesus warns us that if we do not live in him and remain in him, then we're just going to dry up and wither away and die. You'll know whether you're listening to the voice of the enemy. If you look at your life, your home, your relationships, and what you see is pride, greed, bitterness, self-centeredness, envy, unhealthy life choices, destructive addictions, lives bound by the past mistakes, past failures, fear, anxiety, stress. This is what the enemy wants. Come away from Jesus. If you see yourself like that, you're listening to him. On the other hand, our lives can look like this. Jesus calls us. Let me live in you. Let my words live in you in your home. And this is what your life will look like. A life full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and compassion and forgiveness. The abundant life, Jesus says. This is the voice of Jesus, who is the enemy of the enemy. Jesus urges us to close our ears and turn our lives away from the voice that says, let go of Jesus, just let go. Instead, Jesus urges us to let him live in us. Let his word live in us. Today, Jesus knows we need some help for that to happen. And so he offers us three steps on the journey to a love-filled and joyful life. Jesus' first step on this journey is to connect with his word and cut away the suckers continuously. Jesus calls us to let him live in us, to remain in us. And that word live and remain, they come from the same Greek word, which is menos, which means to live in and trust your life to continuously. Jesus wants us to live his great, good, fruit-filled, love-filled life. Not just sometime when it suits us, but all the time when it suits him, continuously. The question is, how can that happen? Well, I'm going to offer you today a personal, a powerful, and a practical step in that direction, at least to get a start. And it comes from Quick and Catherine. And here's how I know this. Here's how it happened. So, when Quick and Catherine were getting ready to move into their home at Beckett, they asked me to come and bless their home. So I went to bless them. And I came with words of inspiration for how their lives could be a home for God's Word and a home where Jesus lives. So I began my pastoral pontification with this wisdom. I said, Catherine and Quick, I'll sit in this chair. I'm sure they have a plaque now because there's where the pastor blessing them sat. And they were sitting on the sofa and the dog was out of the house. And Elsie hadn't even been thought of yet as far as I know. So I was sitting there in this chair and so I started my pontification. I said, so Catherine and Quick, the way for your home to be blessed is for God's word to live in your house, in your home. Quickly interrupted me. Somewhat unpolitely, I think, for the pastor. And Quick said, well, we agree. That's why we have written God's word throughout our home. Well, needless to say, my pastoral pontification hit the pause button and I skipped quickly beyond the wisdom and just do the prayer, okay? For this is what I learned. This is what their house looked like while it was being built. But here's what was happening on the inside. Catherine and Quick are writing God's word throughout their home. Second one. So throughout their home are these words of God in strategic places. And here's what some of those words are. I'm just going to run these by you. So on their front door it says, for me and our household, we will choose the Lord. In their dining room, give us this day our daily bread. In their kitchen where they're preparing the food, and he took bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it and said, this is my body given for you. And going out of the door frame says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And their office, it said, you will eat the fruit of your labor, and blessings and prosperity will be yours. Somewhat more personally, we start going up the steps. Sorry about this, I was going to share the whole thing. Sorry about that. So on the steps, it said, in the guest room, it said, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people will have shown hospitality to angels without ever knowing it. The staircase, it says, Ruth replied, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from you. For where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. And in their bedroom, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. And in Elsie's room, although Elsie did not exist, but hoping, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. So wherever they go in their home, they are surrounded by God's word, which has been ingrained into the place they live. It reminds them of God's word and how God wants to be ingrained, not necessarily not just in the woodwork and the drywall, but in their hearts and their lives. When they leave and when they return, they're reminded that they will serve the Lord. And they have listened to the commandment of Moses when among his last words, he says, these words of the Lord, he says, write them on the door frames of your home so they will become someday the words written in your heart. They get it. Well, they've gotten it fully or not, we don't know. But they're starting. But they do this, of course, not just for themselves, but for her. Now, the mothers in this group looked at that, and they don't like this picture. You can sort of guess why. Christine said, did this woman just have a baby? Must be that word of the Lord thing, Christine. So Jesus urges us, for us to ingrain the word of the Lord in our homes. Maybe in this personal and practical and powerful way, to write it on the doors and the windows and the bedrooms of your home, for his voice, his word, to remind us of the blessings that he wants to give us, if only, Jesus says, you'll just keep living in my word. And Jesus also says to us, not only will the word begin to help you in the way you live, but God's word can cut out the suckers. Next slide, I think. There you go. Because what Jesus knows is the suckers can take away the life that Jesus wants to give you. Now Jesus, he knows about this. What he says to us is the Father prunes away the branches that do not produce fruit. Even those who produce some fruit, so you can be clean and produce even more fruit. And Jesus says, you are made clean, you notice, by my words. See, Jesus knew about vineyards. They were everywhere in Israel. And he knew that what grew up between the vine, which gave the life, and the branch, which needed the vine, were these things called suckers. Now, I don't know what that word is in Hebrew or Greek, but that's what we're going to call it. They're little shoots that branch out that don't have any fruit, and all they do is they suck away the nourishment from the vine that needs to get to the branch. And over time, what happens is the branch does not get what it needs. It dries up and withers and dies. This is the way that the enemy works. He doesn't always hit us over the head with a sledgehammer to destroy your marriage. Instead, he just grows these little suckers. And they start sucking away the life that Jesus could have for your home. And after a while, that little sucker grows and the little sucker pulls away what it is that Jesus wants for you in your marriage, your family, your home, yourself, dies to the life that Jesus wants for you. What that sucker does is makes you let go of the Jesus who gives you life. See, Jesus says to us, so if you'll just hold up God's word to the life in your home, and if they don't match, that's a sucker. And you let the word of God cut it out. Here's how it works. Bitterness can be cut away by his word of forgiveness. Greed and self-centeredness are cut away by generosity and service. You can cut away pride with confession and repentance. Judgment is cut away by confession, compassion, and seeing that log in your own eye. Anger can be cut away by patience. Anxiety and stress are cut away by trust, by peace. Unhealthy habits and addictions can be cut away by remembering that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And by forgiveness, and by angels that God sends you, promises you to get you through. And our imprisonment to our past failures, to our disappointments, to our unmet expectations can be cut away by Jesus who forgives us and says, today's a whole new day. The past is in the past, for you are a precious child of God. Nothing separates you from my love. Why don't we just start today without that baggage from yesterday? Jesus promises us that we'll just hold up God's word in our home, we'll see the suckers. And God's word, if we'll just live it, we'll just cut them out. And the branch will start to flourish and thrive again to be all that Jesus wants it to be. And the result, Jesus says, is that your life will bear much fruit. It will be filled with love. And will overflow with joy, complete joy. But there's a problem here, isn't it? So far, we're still over there at Becca. But Catherine and Quick and you and I and someday Elsie are going to leave home. Every day you and I walk out the door. And those reminders of God's word that surround them there, maybe God's word you hear here gets left behind. And the enemy uses that opportunity to offer us a new way. That's why we need Jesus' second step on the journey to love-filled and joyful lives, which is to conform and comply with Jesus' commands by relying on him to help us continually. Every day and throughout every day, you and I are in danger of the enemy causing us to let go of Jesus, to go it on our own. Decide to live life the way we think it ought to be lived, to do it our way. And right there, the enemy has this great opportunity to say, well, here's a suggestion. Try this. Jesus knows that every day throughout the day we are in danger. That is why he says 8 times in this scripture today, live in, remain in my love, my word continuously. Do not ever let go even just that one time. Question is, how can that possibly happen? It begins with this. That's a scallop shell with 3 little drops of water. Today is about images. The first image I want you to remember is Catherine Quick's home with all those words. Y'all got that one in your brain? Get this one next. The scallop shell is the symbol of baptism. It's been the symbol of baptism for 2,000 years. There are two reasons for that. One is there's a legend that James, son of Zebedee, took a scallop shell and scooped water and brought a man back to life, pouring water on his forehead and then through his lips. So it's a symbol of life out of death. And also, the scallop shell, being very convenient, was used to put the water of baptism on a person's head. And the living water comes from God, who gives us life in His Word. It comes from Jesus, who claims us, wants us to give Him our lives to Him as our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, which makes all of the above possible. What Jesus wants us to remember, wherever we go, is that we cannot make it on our own. We need the power of God, the love of Jesus, and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to get us through those danger times when Satan is saying, well, try it this way. Try it this way. And the scallop shell, after a person's baptism, if they were adult, they took it with them. A child, they kept it, gave it to them when they became adult. They wore it on their clothes or as a necklace as a reminder that God's Word, the love of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit needed to be with them on their journey. Every pilgrim always wore the scallop shell to take with them as that reminder. So I'm going to send you a scallop shell this week by email. And you can cut it out if you want to. I could not afford to buy scallop shells for all of you. My personal financial advisor sitting on the front row said, too much. So you've got to get a piece of paper instead. So you have a problem with that, tell Sally, okay? So I want you to take the scallop shell with you wherever you go as a reminder throughout every day that you cannot make it through the day with your hand in Jesus' hand unless you have His love, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Yet the question remains, we know this, right? I don't think I've told you anything today you didn't know already except about that home over there that Catherine Quick lived in. We're reminded of God's Word. The problem is, how in the world do we live it throughout the day in our world? Jesus says, here's the way. If my words live in you, then ask my Father what you wish in my name, and He will give you what He asks. Jesus invites us to be His prayer partner. Jesus wants to be your prayer partner. And the one word He wants us to live in our lives when we pray to Him is that one word, which is love. Jesus says, this is my commandment, to love one another as I love you, to love like I love. And what does that mean? Paul spells it out in part in that world famous wedding scripture in 1 Corinthians. Love is kind. Think about yourself now as you hear these words that Jesus wants us to live and pray for. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is not envious. It is not proud. Love forgives. Love keeps no record of wrongs. You got that? No record of wrongs. No old stuff. Can't bring it up. Love is not rude or self-seeking or angry. Love rejoices in the truth. It does not attempt to overcome evil with evil. Love promotes what is good and what protects. Love always trusts in God. Love always perseveres. And love never fails to give anyone love who needs love. Jesus says that we can make it through the day if throughout the day we fill our lives with His commandment to love like that. And what I want to offer to you today is a method for doing that, which maybe you'll try to adopt. And that is the four daily W's. The first one is to give Jesus at the beginning of your day your waking thoughts. When you wake up in the morning, say to Jesus, guide me to give your love to someone sometime today. Lord, I dedicate my life this day to give love wherever I go. Do Do you think that would make a difference in your day? Then Jesus says, give me your waiting thoughts. Take some time, yes, time during the day, and be quiet. Be silent. And ask Jesus to show you some way that you can love this day. And give him the times when you're waiting in a traffic jam on I-77, when you're in the carpool line, or waiting in that long line in the grocery store where the person in front of you has 75 coupons and they want to pay with a check. When you're waiting for an appointment, a doctor's appointment. Anybody having to wait for a doctor's appointment? When you're waiting for a customer or a call, lift up a prayer while you're waiting. A prayer of love. And ask Jesus to show you in that moment someone you can pray for with love. Maybe that person in the grocery store line. Maybe that person that you're getting ready to meet. And that's where we come to the third W, which is to give Jesus your whispering thoughts. I do this all the time when I have those conversations with you. And I had quite a few this week. And that is, as you are in the presence of that church member who is suffering, when there is a family member who is a difficult person, anybody got any of those? Don't nod your heads, Catherine. Quick nodded, by the way, I saw that. When you've got some client that is always complaining, when you're faced with that diagnosis, when there's whatever it is that is a troubling circumstance that hits you in the face, pray right then for Jesus to soothe you and give you his peace of love and to find some way to love that person. I've shared with you in the past how this changed my whole life as a lawyer as I prayed for the other side before we began a negotiation. Changed everything about the way I walked in that room, and I got a lot better results. Give Jesus your whispering thoughts wherever you're met with something that needs his love. At the end of the day, give him your waning thoughts. At the end of the day, thank him. You didn't spend the end of your day thanking him for all the blessings you've received. Thank him and then ask for his forgiveness for any way in which you did not love throughout your day. My promise is you'll sleep like a baby. Because you will be soothed by his peace and his gift of love. That leaves us with this last question. Those of you who are not visitors know that what I know is all this is a bunch of words. A bunch of words. Unless you are moved to do something in response. So my question always is, what will get us to move? What will get us to go home today and ingrain God's word somehow in our family, in our home? What will get us to go home and cut out the suckers with his words? What's going to cause us to pray throughout the day tomorrow for love to be in the midst of everything and everyone you meet? What can move us to do that? Because the world says we're not doing that much. Am I right about this? So what can move us? Maybe I could pay you. How much we got, honey? Not that much. So Jesus is brilliant. What he does, he gives us the way to decide. With his third step on the journey to a love-filled and joyful life. And it's this. Consider the consequences. Continually. And then choose which consequence you want for you and your family. Jesus spelled out the consequences. It's a no-brainer. If we decide to live in his love, let his word live and take over our homes, then Jesus says your life is going to, your relationships are going to bear much fruit. You're going to be filled with love, and you're going to have complete joy in your life. Or, he says, you can choose that other voice. You can just let go of me and do it your way. Do it his way. If you do that, Jesus says, then you're going to dry up. Your marriage, your family, your life is going to wither away. And the enemy is going to have his way in your life. You would think that choice would be a no-brainer, right? Who wants joy? Raise your hand. Anybody want joy? Raise your hand. If you don't want joy, don't raise your hand. Who wants their life and their marriage to dry up and wither away? Raise your hand. Got one. There we go. He wasn't listening. All right, that's it. Hey, join the club and not listening. That's why I'm so loud. I want to keep everybody moving with me, all right? But I wonder, my friends, how many of us are going to go home today after all this stuff and go home and start writing God's Word in their home? How many, I wonder, have actually taken that opportunity I gave you a few weeks ago to take that card home and fill out a plan for your family that's committed to praying to Jesus once a day and reading His Word a couple of days a week? How many have done that? Some have. Some haven't. I wonder how many of us will commit our lives to praying throughout the day for love to fill our lives. How many are going to do that tomorrow? And the next day, and the next day, and the next. Jesus says, we don't do that. And we've chosen that other voice. There is more I can say about this, but instead I'm going to leave you image number three. Image number one is what? Who remembers image number one? Catherine Quick's home. What's image number two? Shell. Now I'm going to give you a third one. Now, I'm going to offer this to you because it has given an indelible, deep impression on my life. And it will yours as well. Some of you have seen this image, and I think you agree. However, what I've learned about myself is I need reminders. Yep, that image is on my mind, and it changed me for a while, but I need to be hit with it again. So here we go. Kyle?
Holy.
fight for us. Because he knows that the enemy is at work every day. The enemy has a really simple message. Let go of that Jesus. Or maybe just this one time, not all the time. Just let go. This is one time, won't make any difference. Jesus wants to fight for us, my friends. We got to help him. He gives us a choice. We need to let go. Let us sign not to live by his word. We can live in Jesus. Let him come and live in our homes, our marriages, our families, our lives. If we will just let his word live in us, lead us, guide us, yes, my friends, bless us with lives that bear much fruit, lives filled with love, lives full of overwhelming, complete joy. That's a choice. Jesus wants to fight.